It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I think I have, I had all the microphones set right, but one wise guy decided to move to give Ann back her seat.
That was my totally my fault.
All right, guys. Hello. Oh, hello. It's time for the show, guys.
Maybe they can't hear you?
They should be able to hear us because...
No, it is. It's great.
Yeah. They should be able to hear us. They're just talking away there.
Sorry.
We've been listening to your conversation.
Yeah.
We've been listening to your conversation for a while.
That's you okay. have?
Yeah.
That's great. I'm giving them dating advice.
I kept going, our guys, where are you?
I haven't done that in a long time. I used to do that routinely. I can't remember who used to be in here, but we used to do that all the time. Hi, everybody. You know what? I kept waiting for Anne to arrive.
She'll drift in.
I'm going to do Compass today. It's a great compass. I can't wait to talk about it.
All right. So introduce once again who's in the studio now that we heard mumblings in the background.
Who's dating my light?
What's your name?
I'm Molly.
Where are you from? What town?
I'm Winstead.
Is this your second week on the radio?
Yep.
Okay. Who are you?
I'm Matt Holderman. This is, I think, my third week on the radio now. Third or fourth.
It's fourth, and the cats are keeping track, and they will be giving you some sort of...
There's a test coming up on that. And then, of course...
You get a hairball.
We have Janet Manco waiting in the wings. Here she comes fluttering in. Hi, Janet.
Good morning. Hi.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. I want to hear the show where we hear what was going on in that booth. I think it could be a half hour, too, right?
Interesting
conversation.
About a month ago, I was here on Sunday with NASCAR Dave. And I thought they were in a song, so I went in and I sat down and I started talking. And 20 minutes of a conversation was on the air.
Oh, that's horrible. And I got phone calls like, bleh, bleh. And I was like, could you just call the station? So don't call me.
It can happen to anybody. Anyway, it's time for us to take a look at the Lakeville Journal. Of course, on the front page, lots of pictures of Memorial Day observances and celebrations.
Beautiful photos. And we were lucky not only to have our staff and our interns going out for Memorial Day parades and celebrations, but we had the super talented Ann Day and the super talented Tom Brown and the super talented Lance Christensen contributing their work. So we'll talk about those as we get into the town pages.
All right. Now, something big did happen. The first of a three-part series at the Bitterman Center in North Canaan opened up with a talk about gun control. Marianne Jacob was there.
Right, and an interesting sort of different angle approaching it, which is Marianne Jacob, who is a gun owner, but also was she was the librarian at Sandy Hook Elementary School when the shooting happened. And so she has a very interesting perspective on it and on how we can protect ourselves and our children. And the first, I think, of three, I think the next one is the Women's Support Services people are going to be there. And the third, and I think that's the middle of July, and then there's another one in August, I believe.
Yeah. There's the mental health one, which is coming up. That's the one that's going to talk about that. All right. Shaw's got a story about Northwest Connecticut Community College.
Right, and this is actually our first year in the Lakeville Journal covering the NCCC graduation, which is very exciting to us. Of course, this is our local community college, gone through a lot of struggles this year as the state's talking about consolidation, which we'll be continuing to cover. But 233 students graduated, which is very exciting, and an increase in their student population of 20, which is quite a lot when you think about the size of the graduating class at some of our elementary schools. 20 is a lot of kids.
Absolutely. All right. I want to go down a little bit. Look at that picture of Molly down there.
No. Where were you when that photo was taken?
We were right near the Doughboy and...
Which town?
North Canaan. And, we were watching the ceremony and I was taking notes and they
suddenly
got the picture.
Suddenly a photo appeared magically.
The intrepid reporter with pen in hand.
Janet keeps saying, that's the most serious intern photo we've ever taken.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Over on the left of that, History Notebook with Bernie Drew.
We all call it snail mail these days, but actually the mail gets around here pretty fast. And Bernie talks about the old days when newspapers in the mail were delivered by guys on horses.
That's even longer than older than me. That's right.
Before Marshall's hair was cut.
That's right. Before it even started growing. All right. And then Together We Digitize, a new column.
It's a new column. And actually, I had picked another name. Dan Palberg had given us about 8 different choices, and I had picked another one, but everybody in the office seemed to like together we digitize. So Dan Palberg is this extraordinary person who has moved to the area recently. He's living in Lakeville. His fiance works at Isabella Friedman in Falls Village. And Dan is a writer about technology, and Janet and I had the benefit of hearing him explain some of the complexities of blockchain and cryptocurrency, which is very, very interesting. And he does it in a way that's really easy to understand. So he's writing a column for us. He's going to have him in every 2 weeks and talking about technology and the 21st century and what you really need to know moving forward, not just about the advantages that it brings to us, but also what is it and how do you protect yourself in the face of things like data breaches, which is what he's writing about this week.
All right. Inside, you've got a big story by Alexander Wilburn about the heroin and marijuana. And in that story, is once again Michelle Dinsmore, who is one of two people who robbed us at the bargain bin.
Right. I thought that it was.
And she was on probation for that. We were awaiting payment, which if she didn't make it by the end of the month, which was this month, May, she would have gone to jail anyways on that charge. So now she'll have this charge on top of that.
So this is a culmination story. We had had, I'd say for the last 5 or 6 weeks, every week there'd been a story from a particular house in Lakeville, which is actually right around the corner from my house. And I had asked Alexander, who's been working on the police blotter, if he would take all of it and consolidate it, because there was finally an arrest warrant from the state police, and it gave a lot of detailed information about a group of people who are renting a house. And one person, according to police, had a safe full of drugs that he'd been selling, and there were also, and I guess Michelle Dinsmore is one of the residents of that house, and you know, there always seem to be weapons involved, and you know, we talk a lot about gun control, but the particular weapons in this house were crossbows.
All right, move on to better things, and
happier,
that is the the international crowd and the All-American Parade.
So the happy part of this story is that Anne Day wrote it, which she is such a good writer, and she's like, oh, you know, I wrote it really fast. But Anne Day writing fast is, you know, we think of her as a photographer, and you can see her work as extraordinary. And, of course, Anne is one of these, she's a social collector, so she really knows everybody in town. And beautiful photo of Kyle Laidman, Luba Cherry, the gun salute. Adorable children. Her photos are almost so good that we almost couldn't run some of them in the paper. They were just too good. But her writing also is just, she really captures the mood of this very all-American but very sophisticated, very international parade. And really, it's the beginning of our summer season here in the Northwest Corner, and the parade is something that people really look forward to as the beginning of their return to oldie-timey America.
Okay, now a couple stories out of Salisbury Central School, the changes in the faculty, and then Mr. Sullivan goes to Salisbury.
Speaking of teachers, Patrick Sullivan is extraordinary as a teacher, and I'm sort of always surprised that nobody's poached him from our staff yet. So the Salisbury School had a class in journalism. They've been working all semester on, you know, each was doing one article for their school paper, a special edition. And they came by the office. And so I did what I always do when there are young people in the office, is I said, Patrick, do you want to talk to them? And he gave them this wonderful lecture. And it's funny because I think of Patrick as, you know, a fairly big guy. Those Salisbury School boys are so tall that they absolutely dwarfed him. Which tells you something about modern America. Very, very tall young people. So aside from that, they all got to work on their stories. Patrick returned to the school, worked with them on a final edit. The teacher kept sort of saying, wow, I don't think they've ever been edited quite that vigorously before. But they definitely learned a lot, and he did it in a way that was funny, as he always does. And the new issue of the paper is out, and there's information on how you can get hold of a copy.
All right, you know what's great about the I want to go back to the parades because we're going to go to Sharon and cover the Sharon Parade after the Salisbury Parade. In Salisbury, the marchers march out and stop at a monument and go to the gravesite, march back into town. And in Sharon, everybody follows the parade from where it starts by Autosport and winds up at the memorial.
Yes.
And the services are there. But it's so cool because it's a parade after the parade.
Right.
In those two towns. And I just think it's something special when you see that.
It's funny you should say that because Leela actually described it in there. I'd never really thought about it, but you're right. Everybody lines up on Main Street and people have their folding chairs. They're all along the parade route. And then when the parade vehicles and the marchers arrive at the memorial, there is, it's like, like volcanic lava. If you've been watching that volcano in Hawaii, which has been extraordinary, but everybody just kind of fills into the street and they just move en masse down to the ceremony.
Yeah. So, and nice pictures there of there's Bub Pitcher and also the crowds. And now there's B. Johnstone has gone from Kent to Sharon.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny to me. Bartley Johnstone, who had a wonderful shop in Kent. And there had been a lot of reconfiguration of that little downtown area. And so I'm not 100% sure really why she left Kent, but she lives in Sharon. And I guess she feels that. And, you know, boy, if you go to the Sharon Farm Market, the grocery store, on a holiday weekend, it is so chic. There are so many well-dressed people and so many fancy cars. So I guess Bartley felt like, well, they're going to come over and they're going to shop at my store. And she's got this great mix of everything you really need for the summer season, and of course winter as well. But she's got basics. She's got your classic sort of, you know, pull-on simple slacks and great tops. There's older stuff. There's newer stuff. There's like vintage Manolo Blahnik section. So definitely worth stopping into. A little competition for you guys now.
On the Cornwall page, actually.
That's the parade I went to. Yeah.
Well, Cornwall's great. They break it up to a seaman's service at Cornwall Bridge. Then they have the parade.
And then they've got this the very moving ceremony at the North Cornwall Cemetery. Yeah. So people don't really realize this, and I hate to give up my secrets. This is an issue in which I give up two of my favorite secrets, but Cornwall really has one of the most beautiful Memorial Day celebration. So they do. They have the three ceremonies. They've got the Gold family has traditionally led a walk through the North Cornwall Cemetery where they put flowers on the graves of the soldiers. And Virginia Gold was the guest speaker at this year's ceremony on the green, and she described the history of that, which we have in the article. Then there's the Seaman's Service, which you see a wonderful photo of Robert Parker. I'm amazed at how many of these guys still fit in their uniforms. Yeah. I think that's very impressive. And just very moving and sincere. Earl Tyler was the Citizen of the Year. Dave Cadwell, always so dapper and handsome, was the MC this year. And then, of course, the carnival, which follows after.
Put on by the United Church of Christ. And they named a Citizen of the Year, like you said, and everything that. Yeah. Double the Farm Fresh Fun in Cornwall. They had the two different markets.
Yes, and for those of you who are not paying attention, there is a little bit of drama about this because...
More than a little bit.
Yeah, there's a little... Feelings run high. So, of course, Cornwall, one of our farm towns around here, and Bianca Griggs had put on, for many years, a very good farm market over in West Cornwall outside her Wish House Gallery. A very, very good farm market. And Gordon Ridgway, the first selectman, had been one of her farmers. And his wife, Jane Ridgway, is actually one of the organizers of many farm markets around the area, including the one in Kent. But so the town itself started a second farm market on the green in Cornwall. So Leela Hawken went undercover to discuss with all these organizers what the difference is in the two farm markets and when they're being held.
All right, let's move on to Kent. Black and white photos for the parade there.
Yes, and of course, and Janet can discuss this in great detail, but the way that our printing presses work, we're printed in Trumbull, Connecticut. They can only print color on the first five and the last five pages of the papers just because of the way the printing presses work. But, of course, we would have loved to have color on all of our photos, and Alexander Wilburn, I believe, is posting photos on Facebook from all of the ceremonies. But Kent, talk about a complicated ceremony with a lot of monuments. They go all over. They stop at every cemetery. They stop at every monument. And Bruce Adams always gives, you know, Bruce is just turned into like a wonderful first selectman for that town and always gives a nice speech. And they have two World War II veterans who come. Actually, they have several World War II veterans, but Bob Bauer and Jack Osborne come out and, you know, happy to see them still able to participate. And boy, were we happy. I covered Kent last year and it was pouring rain. So happy this year that we had such great weather and a little overcast, but that's great for photos.
And in Kent, the Kent Center School Board of Education, and really with very little input from the superintendent, named one from within to be their principal.
And, you know, so as Marshall is indicating, there's been a lot of anxiety in the region about the superintendent's office, the Region 1 School District Superintendent, being overly active at some of the individual schools, taking too much of a part in things, and people not necessarily liking the way that it's been done. So in North Canaan Elementary School, the principal retired in January, and the superintendent chose somebody for that position with the support of the North Canaan Board that has a very that had some problems in her last school district that had been documented. So when Florence Budge retired from Kent Center School, the Board of Education very strongly said, we're going to decide who our new principal is. You can certainly have some input, but this is our decision for our community. And they promoted from within, which is always a wonderful thing to see. Michelle Mott, who had been acting as assistant principal, and I think that's great.
All right, and affordable residences open June 1st in Kent.
Kent Affordable Housing, you know, all of our towns talk about it, but boy, does Kent really do it. And, of course, Salisbury's got a new affordable housing commission that's coming together. They are making efforts there. All of our towns are trying, but Kent really is like a fast-moving train with the affordable housing. Always beautiful, nicely sited, and so they have new apartments opening up. There's going to be a big celebration June 1st from 3 to 5. Find out where to go and what's going on if you read the Lakeville Journal.
All right, and I love the Canaan, the North Canaan celebration, because they march to the Doughboy statue, which is terrific, and then they have their services there at the Doughboy.
How about it, Matt? How was it?
Well, it was awesome, particularly this year. It was really memorable. I went there with Molly and Lance Christensen, who was taking the photos for us, which appeared in the journal. They're awesome, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it was a great ceremony this year. I've always loved the gun salute, and they talked specifically about the Korean War this year and it being the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. So a lot to talk about during the ceremony. And very,
you're a North Canaan native. How did it feel to be covering it instead of just attending?
It was a little bit different, actually, you know, because this time I got to get, right close to the Doughboy and the stand. I was probably closest to the speakers as it was happening. So very, very different than being in the crowd watching the parade to actually have to cover it.
Now, what's interesting, right below this, you've got a story, Matt, about when soccer stars fought for their nation.
Yes, so this is a book that was just recently completed by a local author, Andrew Bojan. It's about a Scottish football team who had to fight for Great Britain in World War I because Great Britain had such a small army. They needed as many men as they could get. And so I'd imagine they thought, you know, professional athletes would be good men to have go to battle. So a lot of those, you know, sports teams in across Great Britain suffered because of that. So
they lost a lot of players.
Yeah, and mid-season, it didn't matter what was going on with the team at the time. They just they had to go. Yeah.
All right, we'll go on to Falls Village and parade down Main Street.
The little tiny parade of little tiny Falls Village. And Alexander Wilburn, we're so fortunate, is living in Falls Village now. So that was easy. That was an easy assignment. He just had to roll out of bed. A wonderful parade. Incredible photos from Alex, who is such a talented, gifted photographer and writer and our editor now. And the beloved and very active Chuck and Margot Lewis were the Citizens of the Year, or the Community Service Award winners. And, of course, Chuck is like such a gentle person and used to work in the prison system and then for many years ran an outdoor canoe and kayak business out of what is now Toymakers Cafe. He probably had long hair back when you did. And Margot, of course, very active at the Greenwoods Church and a beautiful ceremony.
All right. And we've got a story about town meeting funds for fix up and the vet and video once again.
Yes. And so a lot going on in Falls Village, and actually we're going to be doing a sort of extended story about trying to some actions that they've taken to entice and encourage business in the center of town, which is a big change. I mean, I remember being at planning and zoning meetings where people would say, we don't want our town to turn out like Salisbury and have all that activity. So I'm really now actually sort of welcoming businesses and a little bit more life in the town. And what's very exciting about the new Eric Vedden video is Eric is a documentary filmmaker who lives in Falls Village. He started out doing these kind of shaky handheld little movies and is getting better and better at it. And used to have, of course, the big video camera, which Marshall, I'm sure, remembers. Now he's got this little tiny thing that fits in the palm of his hand. So he came to our office because now we are one of the big businesses in Falls Village, the Lakeville Journal, over there on Route 7. Come by and visit us.
Changing the name?
We're going to call it the Lakeville Journal now. What do you think of that?
I think it's pretty good. Falls Village Journal. Yeah. And then.
And so Eric did this wonderful little 20-minute or so movie of us, and it's quite funny, and I didn't realize that I'm constantly biting my fingernails, so I'm going to try and work on that. But very funny. You can see Patrick in action. You can see Ann Day in action. All of our reporters are there. Bernie Drew, our very talented page designer. Janet's in it, and it's quite funny. And all the staff of the Lakeville Journal, except for me, would love for you to not see it, so go get it.
Did you get Needhammer on film?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's quite funny. As everybody knows who's ever met Mark, he's quite funny.
All right. In Winsted, you've got the story on the parade and also Down Memory Lane with Laurel Fest.
Yes. And so, again, this is very exciting for us to have Winsted Memorial Day because it's quite a big celebration. That's a big town for our area. And when you see the high school bands marching through, that's, you know, that's some band there. That's like a real band. And they had their Veteran of the Year Award for the regional VFW went to, was it VFW or formerly, but a gentleman wearing it beautifully, a kilt and a tie, and the scouts were out. And the pet parade last week had been canceled, so they combined it in with the Memorial Day parade, so there were animals out. The Laurel Fest is coming up this weekend, and I'm hoping that there is great weather for it. It's June 8th, 9th, and 10th. And there's this woman named Laura Green Kozlowski, who's been emailing me. I've never met her. The most enthusiastic, gung-ho woman ever that's been in touch with the Lakeville Journal, and that's saying something. And she's been so great with giving us history on the Laurel Fest Queens, which, you know, as Lakeville Journal editors, we'd always kind of seen the Laurel Fest fly by us and the young ladies. And I guess there's a Laurel King also that they, and it's a scholarship award, but she sent us all these photos of the winners from like the 80s, the 90s, early 2000s. And they're just so elegant and beautiful, all these young ladies, and so poised and so interesting. So we have been running, this is a second of our two histories of former Laurel Queens, and part of the celebration this year is they're trying to have a reunion of all the Laurel Fest Queens from the past. So do go to Winsted for that.
All right. We only have about 3 minutes left. You've got the sports page with Lime Rock and the new gym, Elite
yep,
Fitness.
And Tommy Scott's son, Jack Scott.
Lakeville has become the fitness center of the world.
What about Janet?
And I want to move on to Janet because there's an editorial about community unity while remembering, of course, the fallen that have left us.
Right. As we're talking about the pages here, you realize, and Cynthia and I both know this because we've been to every one of the ceremonies in all the northwest corner towns and even New York State across the border, every town has its own way of commemorating Memorial Day, and it is so unique, and it shows the heart of the town. It's just fantastic. Every one of the towns is wonderful as far as how they commemorate Memorial Day. We talk about that. We have lots of good letters, and we talk about Winsted's budget coming up for vote. It should be approved, according to us. Take a look why. And don't miss our columns. The last column by John Carter on deportation, arrest, and amnesia is in here, as well as lots of other interesting stuff.
And you've got some letters, a proposed revitalization for Lime Rock, which I'm sure will stir some replies, and also a nice letter about Prime Finds saying goodbye to Lakeville,
yes.
The Primetime House.
Yes, absolutely. So read those letters.
And, of course, my favorite part of turning back the pages. I'm sorry. That's the first thing I always go to.
I'm so glad to hear that. And so is Norma Galais, who writes it.
All right.
And I don't think you're the only one.
No. I don't either.
All right. Well, we've got Compass. We don't have Ann Day. So who wants to take a shot over the
I
next,
would love to do
next
it.
Minute
if
and a half,
if I
two
can.
Minutes.
Is that okay, Janet?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So Alexander Wilburn interviewed Lynn Novak, what is her first name? Kate Novak, who is the director of a documentary about one of the great iconic fashion figures in New York City, Andre Leontali, still alive, still running around, still grand in his beauty. And she's made a documentary about, you know, as everybody, his interesting life story, how he became the person that he is. Very interesting story. If you've never heard of Andre Leontali, you'll get a great sense of it from Alexander's write-up. Our former reporter, my friend Chelsea Edgar, wrote the funniest ever article about Disobedience, a movie with Rachel Weisz and Rachel McAdams as lovers in the Orthodox Jewish community coming back together, the challenges they face, the struggles. Chelsea is such a great writer. It is such a funny review. I would say she doesn't like it. And as with Patrick Sullivan, all of our writers tend to be there at their funniest when they don't quite like it. Fred Baumgarten, who has moved away to Massachusetts, returns to us with a review of the Berkshire High Peaks Music Festival, which is going to be happening in August. But students doing chamber music makes it sound incredibly delicious. And the next Festival of Emerging Artists starting sooner on June 2nd. And descriptions of who's singing, who's doing what. And we, of course, have the calendar. And please do buy the Lakeville Journal.
All right, and that is a look at the journal. There's plenty more when you actually get the paper and pick it up and go through
it. In glorious color.
All right. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you can find the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com, also on Facebook.